Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source, a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences and related topics, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition, and telepathy, and more. We feature special guests who are both experiencers and researchers, and we welcome you to call in if you've got any questions or comments that you would like to make. Please take this number down. It works internationally as well as locally in America. Telephone 888-268-4313. Again, that is 888-268-4313. I encourage you also to visit my website, which is towardthelight.org. I am very, very pleased and honored to welcome this wonderful friend and guest to our show. Her name is Christina Turan, and she is a wonderful harpist, musician, and she also does therapy. She is a near-death experiencer, and she's also had a spiritually transformative experience, or SDE. Welcome, Christina. How are you, my friend?
I am very fine.
It's so nice to have you with us, and I'm so pleased to be able to talk to you again. I remember seeing you at the IANS conference, that's the International Association for Near-Death Studies, for people who are not familiar with IANS, in 2004 when we were in Chicago. And hearing you play harp absolutely drew me to tears, and I am so pleased to be able to share with everyone the wonderful spirit that you are and your wonderful music. So why don't we first start by your telling us a little bit about how you got started playing the harp, which is one of my very favorite instruments, by the by.
Okay. Well, I was one of the very fortunate people to be born into a family where my mother played the harp. And so when she was carrying me, I heard her playing the harp just as I did when I had my own children. And I was actually born in a little cottage in Maine in the backwoods and grew up listening to her play. And then she put my high chair behind the harp and I started playing full tunes on the top strings of the harp. And later on, each year she'd go back to Juilliard to take harp lessons and I would go with her. And I guess by the time I was 7 or 8, I was playing on amateur shows, and by the time I was in high school, I was playing with Broadway productions and orchestras. So I was never pushed at it. It was always a very soulful thing that I did. But it was there. Music was just filling our house all the time. And I studied classically. I went off to music schools in Austria, to the Mozarteum, and to McGill University, and did the whole regular music training route and the orchestral playing until one day I had an incredible experience, and it changed everything.
Go ahead and tell us about that experience, because I remember at the conference, you were talking about the fact that you basically always had to read music, really, in order to play. But then after this profound experience you had, you started being able to play and compose without reading music. Do I remember correctly?
You do remember, Juliet, correctly. So what I'm going to tell you is it's often hard for me to talk about it because it's so intense and so personal. And when I put it into words, it doesn't sound that way.
I understand that. We probably both cried a lot when we've tried to describe our experiences, and especially in conjunction with music. I never fail to get all teary-eyed and choked up, and so we're just going to let that happen and let people know that we're just being so totally real here, and it is indeed a gift. So if you need to cry, that's okay too.
Well, you know, back in 1987, when all of this happened, I really didn't have any clue what was happening to me. And I've since learned that there are what we call near-death experiences, and then we have STEs, spiritually transforming experiences. And we have OBEs, out-of-body experiences. And I've had two incredible experiences in my life. Actually, I should back up and talk even about an experience that I had earlier. Are you able to hear me okay? Because my telephone sounds a little crackly.
Yes, I am hearing you okay.
Okay,
thank you.
I'll continue then. So when I was young and I was about 16 years old, I got involved in a church movement that was very involved in prayer. And I was with a friend. We had gone down to the beach and we went swimming, and then we came out and everybody had gone home. We were waiting for my father to come pick me up or pick us up. And Barbara and I were in a very heightened state of prayer. And after that, we decided to take one more dip before we ended up going home.
Was this in the ocean?
This was in the ocean, yes.
Okay. Up in Maine?
No, this was in Connecticut, in a place called Stony Creek in Connecticut. And when we went out to go swimming, all of a sudden Barbara called over and she said, Tina, look at you. And I said, what? And I looked at myself and I was standing on top of the water. And then at that point, I just slowly sank into the water until it came way up to my chin. And I was really dumbfounded by that. And so it took me many, many years to actually understand what had happened. But that's just the preface for some of the strange things that have happened to me. So then in 1987, I was with a group of harp players, and we went to the Redwood Forest in California. And we were there for a retreat for professional harpers. And that the evening before the experience, people got together and they're sitting around and they're jamming and they're playing. And I thought to myself, I've gone to music school. I'm not stupid. I mean, I should be able to sit there and just jam with people. But I couldn't. You know, everything I had to know was memorized or read the music. And so I kind of got frustrated, and I went to bed that night. Well, I had jet lag, and I woke up in the morning, and I went down into the Redwood Forest, and there was a stream running through the forest. And I had my small harp with me, and I was sitting by the stream, and I was all wrapped up in my down quilt that I took down with me. And as I was sitting there next to the stream, I heard the rippling of the water, and it was just rippling along, and all of a sudden I heard a rustle in the bushes, and I looked over to the bushes, and the next thing I knew, I was looking down on the bush, and I could see this soldier hiding behind the bush. And I thought to myself, what's this all about? And the next thing that happened was I was lifted higher, and I looked down, and I could see more soldiers in more bushes. And then I went back further, and when I went back, then I looked down, and I could see that there were two sides of soldiers, and they were fighting. And the next thing, I just kept going backward and backward and backward. And at that point, I could see that I was in Central America. I was in Nicaragua. And the earth started becoming very, very small and going away from me. So then I could just start seeing, you know, the whole globe going way far away from me. And I was just kind of ascending backwards into this deep black void. And then as I was way out there in the blackness, there was this incredible light that came from over my right shoulder, and it came down in the form of a petal of a white rose, and it wrapped right around me. So I was in the middle of it, and it was so light, and it felt so lovely. And then, out of the corner of my left eye, I saw another petal of a white rose come down, and then another one from the right, and petal after petal after petal of lightness started coming down and enveloping me. And it finally got to the point where, I don't know, I could probably only say it was orgasmic. It's so light and so powerful and so beautiful that I finally thought, where is this coming from? And so I turned up to look up over my left shoulder, and I saw this incredible source of light. And this is the part that's so hard to talk about, because all I can say at that point was it was pure joy, it was pure ecstasy, it was pure light, it was pure happiness. All I wanted to do was to go into it. I just felt this overabundance of love for everything. And those words are just like alphabets on a piece of paper. But the feeling that was with it was so intense, and it was so moving. And I just stayed with it for a while, and it was just a sense of oneness. And there was this reverberation that kept going around in my head, and it was, I am, I am, I am. And then the I fell off, and it was just M, M, M. And then all of a sudden, I was about ready to go with this. And then I thought to myself, oh, I have two little boys. I can't do that. And then it was like, whoosh, I was all the way back to the stream, sitting by the stream, and I heard the rippling of the water, and it was amazing. It was a sound, and I had picked up the harp, and I started imitating that sound of the water. And then in my left hand, I could just remember the constancy of the earth that I saw, that was always there but going further and further away from me. And so I had this drone going in my left hand for the earth. And then I had this melody that started coming in, and that was the light of the white rose. And it was so amazing, because it was the first time I'd ever played a song without having music in front of me. First time I'd ever played a song without having to memorize it. And the music just started flowing. And the experience was so incredible, I didn't know what to do with it. But all I knew was that from then on, things kept coming to me that completely changed my life. And I also knew from that day that happened, that no matter what happened to me, I had no fear. In fact, I welcomed going to wherever that light source was. And I have to let you know, I'm not a person that takes any kind of drugs whatsoever. So, you know, this was just something that happened. It wasn't anything I had read about. I didn't have a clue about anything that was going on at that point. But shortly after that, I was led to a little store in Santa Rosa, California, that had it was a store where they sold things by Rudolf Steiner.
Oh, and interesting, yes.
Very shortly, I decided that I was going to get involved in Steiner education. So I went off to school to become a Steiner teacher. And I did that for a while. Some of that was very healthy, and some of it, it wasn't so healthy, because some people had to hold on so tight that it didn't breathe very well. But then, step by step, things kept coming to me to bring me this awareness. And all I can say, it was incredible, because from then on, music started flowing through, and I never had to think about it. I just needed to put my hands to the harp, and the music would be there.
Didn't you play that special piece at the conference? Because I remember crying, and I'm not shy to admit it.
I did play it, and I don't play it very often because it's just too personal. I did record it, but I don't play it very often because I just have some feelings sometimes that if you talk about things or that you start to lose the intensity of it. But for me, the intensity of this experience has never gone away. And I've had some things happen after that that were very curious. I did actually, when I had a hysterectomy in 1998, they lost me on the table. And I saw a being on the other side, and I was ready to go. And I wasn't allowed to go at that time. That experience was intense, but not the same as the experience I had with White Rose. But one of the things that came out of all of this is being able to take my music now into hospitals and hospices. And it was in 1990 when my father was in the hospital, and he had triple bypass surgery. And he was actually thinking that he was leaving us and saying his goodbyes. And after they had done the operation on him, he came out of it, and he was very, very confused. He saw all of us kind of hovering over him in the recovery room after he had said goodbye to everybody. And he had tears running down his cheeks. And my brother said, "Dad, do you hurt?" And he shook his head, "No." And then my other brother said, Dad, what's the matter?" And he just kept shaking his head, "No." And I finally said to him, "Dad," I said, "are you sorry to be here?" And he shook his head, "Yes." And once they took the tubes out of his mouth, he said, "I saw the most incredible light." He says, "I saw my old friend, Arby." Arby was his old friend. He said, and he was there, and he told me I had to come back and tell Mother how much I love her and tell everybody how much I love them. So we kind of had this bond for many, many years, and he died about 2 years ago. And I would say, "Dad, remember that light?" He goes, "I sure do." He says, "That was the darndest thing. I can't explain that."
That is so wonderful, and it's really interesting how universal this is. Everyone that I've spoken to, and including my own testimonies, we always share the fact that we experience this great joy, this great feeling of unconditional love and acceptance and no sense of fear whatsoever. And it doesn't matter one's background or cultural, you know, lineage or where one is from or how old one is or anything like that. And even whether it's a near-death or spiritually transformative experience, or actually instead of near-death, I prefer to say eternal life experience, because we don't really know or think about death. It's just moving on to such a beautiful space that we're still so fully conscious and alive and full of joy and power, an amazing kind of power. So I'm sure that your father also was really comforted by the fact that you could understand what he had been through. And I'm sure that also removed any fear that he may have had before he actually did transition.
It's true. And, you know, the other thing that was really interesting was that my mother said, "You know, you've had this experience and your father's had this experience." And she said, "Just because I haven't seen the light doesn't mean that I don't have faith that it doesn't exist." And I think that's a really important thing, that
Yes. Sometimes
people hear about other people who have these experiences and they almost feel envious. And my mother had such a good point. She says, "I have the faith that that exists because you've experienced it and Dad experienced it, even though I haven't."
Well, that's why so many of us were sent back. I know that I was specifically sent back, quite against my preferences, if you will, to share the news that life is indeed eternal. And so here we are doing this work, and it is to help bring about peace of mind to people because of the fact that we have actually been there. And also what is so beautiful about your experience is that, at least for your spiritually transformative experience with the white rose enveloping you, you did not have to be on the verge of death to have that very profound and life-changing experience.
That's true.
Which, you know, the way it has impacted you, that's never going to go away. You will always have that recall. You will always have that deep knowing. And I think that it comes to you in times when you are probably feeling stressed or concerned about certain things. You've got that to fall back on and to remind you just what is real.
Oh, absolutely. And any time that I do feel stressed or anything, I just have to remember that. And then I say, wait a minute, if I'm not getting joy out of what I'm doing here, then there's something very wrong. Because I think we're really here to experience that joy and to pass it on. And one of the things that happened for me was that after I had played for my father in the hospital, I started going into the hospital a lot and playing harp music. And I had a very interesting experience when I went to England in 1995. And I was sitting at a place called Glastonbury Tour.
Oh, yes.
And when I was there, I was looking off into the sky, and all of a sudden there was this mathematical equation that kind of appeared in the sky. And it said, if I played for so many people in the hospital for so many days, so many years, then so many people would have the benefit of the music. And at that time, I was getting all of these incredible letters from people about how the music had touched them, and the doctors were doing research and finding how the music was helping people to breathe easier, and it was calming them. And at the same time, I would extend the small harp so that people would have a chance to play the harp, and that was giving them a lot of joy. I remember one woman saying, I know I'm going to die. She says, but just because I've had the opportunity to touch a harp, I feel like I'm going to be closer to the angels once I'm gone.
Oh, that is so precious. One thing that I would like to interject is that when I was so critically ill as a child as well as an adult, and of course being a musician too, I found that the most powerful medicine that could help me was having someone play music to me and listening to music. And I remember I would be in convulsions, but then as a result of listening to the music, and I admit I'll even listen to your CD, I'll put it on when I'm dealing with a lot of stress or when I'm not well, and it just does so much to help me feel much, much better. And there is so much scientific proof that music actually does heal.
There's a lot of proof.
Huge way.
Right.
So I am very excited about this work that you are doing. And let's do a little commercial for you here. Feel free to tell our listeners what your website is and a little bit about your schedule right now. And then we'll get back into you describing more about your healing work. But tell our listeners what your websites are. I know you've got two of them, correct?
Well, I have quite a few websites, but I have one umbrella that links up all of them together, and it's called playharp.com. Playharp.com.
That's playharp.com.
Right.
C-O-M. Okay.
And when you go to Play Harp, there's three places that you can go. And the first one, you can go to, you know, like CDs and healing music and where to get small harps so that you can learn how to play and teaching videos, that type thing. The second one is the harp therapy program that we'll talk about in a little bit. It tells about how you can either find somebody to come and play for your loved one, or how you can actually learn how to play the harp and go into healing work yourself. And the third one is a website where you can actually play harp on the website with the click of your mouse. So in other words, you can take your mouse and click on the harp strings and it plays music.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. Now, I do have your website harpreal.com, H-A-R-P-R-E-A-L-M.
Right. Harp Realm is the site for the harp therapy program.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with our listeners, because I know that more and more people are going to want to know about being able to access harpists and also learn how to play. I'd really love to learn how to play the harp, because
it's not very hard at all. It's a very easy instrument to learn how to play, the small harp, because your strings are color-coded. And the large harp is probably one of the hardest instruments to learn how to play. I taught music in the public schools and Steiner schools for 20 years, and I had to teach all of the instruments, including trumpet and trombone. And the large harp is hard because you have 21 places for your feet to be while you're playing all the strings. It's sort of like playing an organ.
Okay.
But the small harp is very easy because you just have, you don't have any place for your feet except for on the earth.
Now, you're talking about the concert harp, correct? The large
right,
one?
Right, the concert harp. That's quite a difficult instrument to take on.
And then we've got the Celtic harps, and of course, you know, I play piano and keys, and I sing, and I just love the harp so much. It's always been a very favorite instrument of mine, and it's so soothing. I can listen to it and never tire of it, and I can listen to your music and never tire of it. Tell us the name of some of your CDs, too, Christina.
Well, I think maybe one of the CDs that you've been listening to is called Illuminations.
Yes.
And Illuminations is a collection of all the songs that have been kind of divinely given to me. And so those are all of the original compositions. The Echoes of Angels is a very uplifting CD of some of our favorite classical tunes, but they're played very ethereal.
That's why I like it so much, I think.
I have, I don't know, if people go to the website, there's a whole variety. There's a CD of hymns. There's a CD of Celtic music, CD of popular music, lots of meditation type of CDs. I have about 15 of them. So they could just explore and see what speaks to them.
And is that, again, at Harp Realm?
No, that one's Emerald Harp.
Emerald Harp,
But again, if they go to playharp.com, that will take them to all the places they need to go.
Wonderful.
So that's really the one to remember, is playharp.com or amazon.com.
Okay, playharp.com. Okay, and go ahead and tell us more about how you got into this healing work with playing harp in hospitals and hospitals.
Well, I had started out volunteering after my dad had been in the hospital, and it finally got to the point at the medical center that every time I went into the hospital, that they would have printouts of people who wanted harp music. They had on their in-house television a little band at the bottom. It says, if you want the hospital harpist to come play for you, dial extension 2036. And people would call up and say, we want the music. And there just was not enough hours in the day and enough time for me to play for everybody who wanted to do this. So I had looked into going off to music therapy school, but I couldn't do that because my children were small. And so I enrolled in counseling and psychology program and started doing my master's in that work, thinking that I could become a counselor and use music along with it. But as I got into that program, I was introduced to another program called Resonant Kinesiology. And this is how you learn how sound vibrations affect different parts of the body and the power of music. And it was a fascinating program. And by the time I had finished with that, I went off to England, like I said to you, and I had this experience at Glastonbury Tour where there was this mathematical equation saying that so many people would benefit from the harp music. And then the whole equation just disappeared and it came back squared. And it was like millions of people would have benefit from sound therapy, from music. And then right after that, three tablets appeared in the sky. And at the top of it, it said the International Harp Therapy Program. And on the first tablet, it said counseling and psychology, and it gave the name of a teacher. And the second one said resonant kinesiology, the name of a teacher. And the third one said music therapy, and the name of a teacher. And so I took these names, and I got in touch with these people, and I said, would you be interested in teaching a course this fall? And they all said yes. So I put an ad in the local HARP magazine, and 13 people signed up. And that was back in 1995. And we are now in our 12th year, 11th going on 12th year. And we've had over 300 people go through the training to learn how to take music into hospitals and hospices. And we do a lot of work in hospice, and I work on a daily basis at San Diego Hospice where people are transitioning. And I can't begin to tell you how many people have, it's very amazing when you're right there, you've worked with somebody maybe for 4 or 5 days before they transition, and you're finding their resonant tone. You're finding the type of music that they like. You're creating this cradle of sound where it's not holding them back, but it's just like cradling them.
Absolutely.
And then when people are in the process of transitioning, so often they'll just open their eyes up like they've seen something absolutely beautiful. And then they just transcend. And it's amazing, you know, and a lot of people say to me, oh, that work must be so hard. And yet I think it's just incredibly beautiful to be able to help support somebody going into the eternal life.
I cannot think of anything more appropriate to assist someone into transitioning to the other side, because it is so special and so uplifting and so beautiful. In an article I wrote called The Dying Process from an Experiences Perspective, I actually make a notation about the fact that when I was visiting a hospice here in Nashville, Tennessee, and I went into the patient's rooms, all I saw were televisions.
I know.
And I thought, what are you doing with these TVs in here? These people don't need television. They need music. And there was nothing for playing or listening to music. And so I emphasize in the article, at the risk of being a little bit rude, throw the TV in the rubbish and bring in music, because music is so important for healing and for assisting one in preparing to transition. And it's interesting that you saw this message come to you in the sky, because I'm in a wonderful, wonderful choir called Nashville in Harmony. And one of the songs we sing is by Elton John called The Answer in the Sky.
Mm.
And you literally saw this message, this answer in the sky, and you heeded it, you followed it through, and look what it's brought, where it's brought you now. This is really, really special.
It's very special, and I think, you know, if we just step back and we, you know, take time to let the spirit work through us, we tend to often think we've got to do things to try to achieve an end. I have a story for you I'd like to share.
Please.
I was led to a mystery school called Amort, and it was very interesting because it was a ancient mystery school order of Rosicruce.
Yes. Okay.
And as I was doing some of my studies through that, I eventually learned why I was able to walk on water when I was 16, and it has to do with vibrational energy being so light. And there are a lot of exercises that you can do to achieve that. And so, anyway, I was asked to play at a conference outside of London in Guildford. This was back in 1997, I believe. And I was talking about the harp therapy and the things that we've noticed and researched, the healing aspects of it, to a group of about 500 people. And they had this room, and it was all dark, with one blue light coming down on the harp as I was talking. Mm. I couldn't see the people. And it's sort of like right now. I feel like I'm talking to you, but I know a lot of people are listening. But anyway, I was talking about all of the effects and benefits of harp therapy, and then this man came out of the audience with crutches. And he said, you say that harp therapy can heal. I want you to heal this leg. He says, I haven't been able to walk without these crutches for 12 years. So I thought to myself, oh boy, what did I get myself into? But he sat down next to me, and I picked up my small harp, and I asked permission if I could touch his leg. Well, he pulled up his pant leg, and his leg was so swollen, and it was so cold. It was like an ice cube. And he reached down, and he took off his sock, and there were scabs all over his feet, and it turned out he had gangrene. He had been a diabetic and hadn't taken his insulin. And so I asked permission, and I touched his leg. And as I sat there at the harp, I played a string, and nothing happened. I played another string, nothing happened, and I thought, oh boy.
And did finally, you play one note at a time, or did you play a phrase? Did you play just one note at a time? Or
I played just one note at a time because I was working with the specific energy and the vibration of that particular
sound.
And nothing was happening, and I said, okay, let me just clear myself and just trust. And as I did that, I went down toward the bottom of the harp, and I played a D string. And when I did that, there was an electric current that went through my left arm, up the arm, across my chest, down my right arm, and went into his leg. And it was popped. That's all I can say. It was popped. I jumped. He jumped. And where it had been ice cold, there was a hot spot. And so I did it again, and the same thing happened. In fact, I can even feel the chill now as it goes through my body. Mm. And it created another hot spot on his leg. So I thought to myself, I wonder what would happen if I did the octave above. And I did that, and not much happened at all. So I stayed with that one note. And for about 6 minutes, 7 minutes, I just kept touching his leg and playing that note all the way down his leg. And I got all the way down. I was bending over, touching his foot. And his whole leg became so hot. It was unreal. And then at the very end, he just got up and he walked away and left the crutches there.
Wow.
And I was just kind of flabbergasted. I thought, what has happened here? And so I didn't know what to do, so I just ended up playing a little piece and just leaving it. And when that happened, there were two women that came up to me who were healers, and they said, put your hands on your solar plexus right now and come with us, because people started coming over, will you heal this, will you heal that? And I'm like, I don't know what I did, I don't. And they took me to the Grand Master of England. We were about ready to go into the banquet, and the Grand Master was with the Grand Master of Africa. And the Grand Master of England said, as you begin to understand vibrational energy, you'll find that there are higher vibrations than the vibrations of the harp that can heal people. And the Grand Master of Africa looked at me, and he turned to Sven, and he said, no, she will always use the harp, because people can relate to the harp. And what I guess I'm trying to say is there's a correlation between the energies of all of these modalities that we're using now in various healing places. There's energy of aromatherapy. There's an energy of crystals. There's an energy of sound. There's an energy of color. There's an energy of food, of just all of these different things that are measurable energy. And they have a correlation to one another. And when you can find with a patient the aroma that vibrates with them, the sound, the color, all of these things, you put it together, you create this incredible channel of harmony so that when everything's in a harmonious state, then that person can open up to spirit in a clear way. You know what it's like if you've got the wrong color on someday, or if you've got the wrong music on, and you're not eating the right food, and everything's, you know, your house is helter-skelter, and it's harder to be in touch with
that. Even with my study of Reiki, because I'm a Reiki practitioner as well, all of that is in there, the different colors, and each chakra has got a note of the snail that corresponds with it. And I would ring my singing bowl every night and then hum with it. And oh my goodness me, the way it just resonates and fills up the whole room. So this is very, very powerful what you're talking about. And
it's very, very powerful.
Ooh.
And it's just, I mean, we live in a vibrational world.
Yes, we do.
You know, I mean, there's so many things that we're being bombarded with vibrations, positive and negative. And so when you use music in that sense, with the intention, and the intention is a huge factor, because you can be playing a certain vibration that may trigger something to move that shouldn't be moving. So there's this whole study of how to hold certain masses with vibrational energy and how to dissipate them. It's a fascinating study. So, and I've got a book coming out.
Going to ask you, have you got a book? Very good.
I was working on it just before I came on the line here. It's going to be out in June or July. It's called The Cradle of Sound.
The Cradle of Sound. Okay.
It's all about harp therapy. And again, if people go to playharp.com, they can see where to order that. And, you know, I love going around to the country. And I go to England about 4 or 5 months of the year. And I talk to different hospitals and different hospices and different groups on the work that we do. And
Part of England do you go to for my friends back home?
Excuse me?
What part of England do you go to?
Well, usually I'm down in West Sussex. We live in Totnes during 4 months of the year. I used to live in Bradford-on-Avon on the outside of Bath.
Okay.
And then I go up to Yorkshire, and I teach harp lessons there. And then we have programs here where I travel to the East Coast and West Coast here to teach.
Oh, that is so wonderful. I'm really pleased that you're doing that, too. And there's a wonderful music school in Newcastle upon Tyne as well. And I really haven't been in touch with them for a while, but I know that they're very progressive and they're doing amazing things with music and dance and that sort of thing. But I've been on a campaign myself to, again, just even with this article, trying to help educate people about what it feels like to go through the dying process and what a dying person actually needs. And so I've been really pushing for the music. We need music in hospices and hospitals, not televisions.
It's absolutely true. When I go in there and I see somebody's in the process of dying and they've got the news on with all of Iraq bombings and everything, you know, it's just... But luckily, we have CD players in each of the rooms, and I just kind of turned down the television. But our facility is really wonderful at San Diego Hospice. It's an incredible place. And the other thing that's very exciting that's happening for us is that we're just becoming affiliated with a group of hospitals called the Plane Tree Hospitals. And the Plane Tree Hospitals are based on a very ancient model of holistic healing along with the medical model. And anybody can find out where there's a Plane Tree Hospital near them by putting in Plane Tree, which is PlaneTree.org. And they have hospitals throughout the country and in Europe. And there are over 100 hospitals, and so we're going to start having our harp players be with them. And it's very exciting because it's an ancient model of using vibrational work. This is nothing that's new. This is a renaissance of something that was very active, but we lost touch with, you know?
Well, that's kind of typical, isn't it, that there's been so many sources of great wisdom and knowledge that has been buried, and then they've had a revival in recent years, and there's a tremendous renaissance going on right now that I'm very pleased about. And I think also with the tide, as it were, of all the near-death experiences, or again eternal life experiences going on, and our sharing with the world that life is indeed eternal.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why so many of us are called back.
I think so.
To bring this to the forefront. I know that I had got so caught up with becoming detached from things, and it was in the year 2000, and I was just like, I'm ready to go. And I was sitting by a river, the River Dart, down in Devon.
Yes.
And I had actually a visit from all four grandparents. I was sitting by the river, and all four grandparents came to me. And I was just like, I'm ready to go. And they said, no, it took you this long to find out what you were supposed to do. You've got to put your time in and do some work on it now.
That's a song that a lot of us sing. I'm always saying, when are you going to beam me up, Scotty? I want to get home. Because there is nothing that can compare with that experience.
It's so incredible.
Oh, my goodness me.
So incredible.
So we're being very good sports, I would have to say, by being here.
But the nice outcome from this is that even though that we're so... we know what's on the other side, and we're so, you know, looking forward, you know, like Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She was like, I'm ready. How come you're playing tricks on me? You're not taking me. You know? But the thing is, during this whole process that we're walking here on this earth, and we're becoming, I had to learn how to integrate back into the earth.
Oh, I did too.
And the thing is, once I learned how to do that, I said to myself, well, if I'm going to be here, it's going to be happy. And so then you learn how to make the happiness here, even though there's so much suffering going on. And that was the hardest thing for me, was to see all the suffering going on in the world. And that was part of the journey that I had to understand why we're experiencing different things. But for my own choice, I said to myself, I need to, if I'm going to be walking on this earth, I need to do this with some kind of joy in trying to spread that to others. And because I know what lies ahead.
Exactly.
I don't even think I'm making myself clear on this.
Well, you know, because we do know what is on the other side, what is on other dimensions, I think, for example, we can actually start to implement some of that energy into this plane, because through our work we are actually helping to raise the vibrational frequency so that we can bring about that heaven on earth, as it were, because that's not an impossibility. Actually, truth be told, this plane is nothing but a hologram anyway.
Right.
And we can manipulate it, we can adjust it, we can raise the vibrational frequency so it's not so dense and riddled with pain and violence.
At the same time, we have to be very careful not to come across as like the chosen few, because we're not.
Oh, indeed not.
Everybody's chosen.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that
people who've had these experiences have to be very, very aware of that everybody in... There are a lot of people that have a lot of types of experiences, but they don't talk about them. And just because some of us do talk about it, we have to be careful that, you know, the way we come across.
Well, I know for many, many years I never talked about it either, and then I finally had my coming out, as it were. And really, it took a number of people to sort of lovingly push me and say, you've got to do this, and not the least of which is PMH Atwater.
Mm-hmm.
She was really, really encouraging me, and I'm so grateful to her and other people who said, you've got something to do, and I just humbly said, okay. And no matter what, I feel so humble in this work, and it seems like the more I do, the more humble I feel, because I am here to serve, and I'm really committed to this, and I feel so passionate about it, and I feel such deep love for it, and for all of us who can come together and share this work, because it's not just a theory anymore. We can, as a result of experience, really validate and claim how real this is, and then set an example through our work. But I think that the work that you are doing is so wonderful, and you're inspiring me. I hope that it's not too long that I can pick up a harp and start to learn and play myself, because I do have a very keen ear, and I do play by ear.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully at some point I can do a CD with you too, either singing or playing the piano and working with your harp. I know we did talk about that, and that would be really, really exciting. It's just such a joy to do this music. And now you do have your information out so people can find out about you, and you do travel all over North America as well as in the UK. Do you travel in other places as well?
Julia, my telephone seems to be acting up a little bit. I don't know if it's picking up on the other end for you or not.
I am hearing static.
And are we going to have a situation where people can call in and ask some questions?
Well, they are welcome to if they want to, but so far I've not heard a beep in my ear that anyone is trying to call in yet. But
I'm going to try to pick up another phone here and see what happens.
Okay.
Is this any better?
Well, I think it is a little bit better.
I don't know.
We're still getting static, but at least hopefully you are on a hard line, and you might be dealing with some storms in that area right now. I don't know, but it is just really so wonderful to have you. And is there anything you'd like to share with us? We do have a couple of more minutes.
I'm really having a hard time. I'm sorry with these telephones.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Something's working through here.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
We do have a couple of more minutes. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us?
I would just simply say that I'd love to hear from everybody. If you could give me write me a line. I love to be in touch with people. You can access my email through my website at playharp.com. And I'm a people person, and I'd love to hear from you.
Okay, and again, that is playharp.com, playharp.com. And it has been such an honor to have Christina Turin with us. And it's wonderful to speak with you again. And do you have any engagements coming up that you care to tell us about before we sign off?
Julian, I'm going to interrupt right now because my line has got so bad, and I think I'm going to have to sign off so that you can continue talking with the people.
Okay, love. Well, thank you so much.
I don't know what's happening. I live on top of a mountain.
Oh, okay.
And lately, things have been a little bit crackly, but things just cleared up right now.
Just for the moment. Okay, well, if you've got a last little bit of information that you would like to share, any engagements that are coming up for you in the next few weeks?
Well, yes, I'm going to be in Chicago giving a concert on the 26th, and this is with the Society for Arts and Healthcare.
And that's 26 April, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then after that, I'll be in Oregon, and then I go to Japan for 3 weeks, and I do concerts in 10 different concerts in Japan. And let's see, I come back and I'm in Alaska for 3 weeks teaching about harp therapy. And I have a few other gigs here and there. And then I head over to England in the fall. But again, my schedule is on the website. And I would love to come and play for any groups if they're interested, and talk about the work. And if anybody is in need of having harp music for a loved one, they can find somebody on the website under practitioners that's trained. I'm not sure what else to say except for I just bless the path that everybody's on.
Oh, bless you. It is so wonderful to have you with us, and I'm really looking forward to your book coming out. And do contact me, and I will put it on my website straight away. And again, my website is towardthelight.org. And I do have you, Christina. Your Harp Realm is actually on my Kindred Spirits page. So
mm-hmm.
It has been such a joy and a pleasure to have you with us this evening.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm sorry about the phone.
Oh, that's all right. Well, we managed to get through things, and it's such a joy to have you. So let's hear back from you again soon, and I'll look forward to speaking with you again, and bless you. Thank you.
Blessings
so
to you, too.
Okay.
And to everybody out there. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. And do remember that only love prevails. This
Absolutely.
Is Juliet Nightingale with Toward the Light. Blessings and peace to everyone.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.